Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
We're live on the Bet 1430 in Denver, KCBS HD3 out in Los Angeles, and 105.9 FM HD2, the Bet, Chicago's new home for wagertainment. Mark Malusis and Ken Barkley with you. It is You Better You Bet, BetQL Audio Network, and kicked off this fourth and final hour of the program here on this Wednesday night, chat with Anthony Amico from footballguys.com. Anthony did a good job of getting you set for the NFL draft, and I can't wait for next week. I really can't, Ken. I'm a big draft Nick. I'm not telling you that I'm analyzing prospects day in and day out or grading them out, but, you know, we're all huge college football fans, and, you know, the NFL draft, whenever rolls around, I mean, it's the best three, you know, best few days there. I love the fact that the first round, it's his own entity on Thursday night, and then you get to rounds two and three on Saturday, on Friday night, and then you get the rest over the course of the weekend. I think it's a fantastic event. I think the National Football League has done a tremendous job of making an event, and it's also a great bet, a great event to bet on, because there's so much knowledge out there. The key for you as a handicapper or a bettor is this, is what to decipher what is true and what is not, right? Because it's lying season in the National Football League. So, you know, who do you trust? I mean, you know, because Adam Schefter's getting used, Jason Lockenfora is getting used, because there are teams that want to get information out there because they want to throw teams off the trail of maybe players that they really like.
Right. I think Anthony did a pretty good job of it, of, you know, kind of giving you his opinion, but also laying that out there. Whale Capper did a really good job. Drew Densick, when he was on early in the show, of saying the same thing. When you make a list of teams that do the thing that you're talking about, that put misinformation into reporters, and that gets into the, you know, not just the betting landscape, but just the media landscape. It gets reported on SportsCenter, or guests come on and say, I've heard this and I've heard that. Anthony even told you, because it's funny, right? Everybody wants to give you their opinion on who the number three pick is going to be. It's the biggest content topic. There's a fascination with it. There's a huge appetite to talk about it, because they, you know, they're taking a quarterback and there's three, and they all have kind of their pros and cons, and it's all very interesting. Everybody has an opinion on it, right? Nick and I have talked about it a lot on the show. You can bet into it a lot in a lot of different ways. Average draft position for each guy, who the third overall pick is going to be. And yet at the same time, all of those people, myself included, will tell you that the Niners have been masters of misinformation previously, that they don't give anything away, that they've actually frequently told you they're going to do something and they do the opposite of that thing. So I think that's almost the first, you know, the first lesson of this basically is, you know, you can be diligent. You know, it's like, oh, I'm going to bet on the NFL draft and I'm going to follow Adam Schefter and put Twitter notifications on, so I get the stuff right when he sends it out, and Ian Rappaport and Jason Lockenfora and all these guys who are really good, who are like the best of the best elite NFL reporters, except that, like, their job isn't to win you bets. Their job is just to report the information that they're given. And if the idea of that information is like, it's rooted in misinformation, it's rooted in deception, then you don't gain anything by paying that much attention to all of those accounts. So it's kind of that give and take, right? Where, okay, like, I need to be paying attention, but I also need to be paying attention with, like, a very healthy amount of skepticism.
Well, that's it. And Ken, I'll bring up a perfect example with Adam Schefter and Robert Saleh, right? The night that Robert Saleh was not officially introduced, but came to terms with the Jets to be the head coach, I remember watching Adam Schefter on ESPN that night saying, the belief is that that Sam Darnold will be the Jets starting quarterback week one, 2021. That is that he will right. be the Jets starting quarterback. Sam Darnold is now a Carolina Panther, and Zach Wilson is going to be drafted second
overall. You mean he's not? He's always right. not the starter so, week one? That's what you're saying?
No, so my point being is things can change, right? And here's the thing that I have an issue with like the 49ers, right? Like at this stage, why do they have to lie, right? I mean, what's the point? I mean, we know right. like, you know, Trevor Lawrence is going first overall. Zach Wilson is going to go second overall to BYU, right? There, you know, and the 49ers might have a history of lying. John Lynch might have a history of lying. They might have a history of throwing things out there. But really, for all intents and purposes, next Thursday night, the NFL draft begins with the third overall pick, right? They pay right. the king's ransom to move from 12 to 3 to put themselves in a position. We know they're drafting a quarterback. We know it's going to be either Mac Jones, it's going to be Fields, maybe it's Trey Lance, one of those three. So I guess my point being is if I know, you know, two quarterbacks are going before me, the draft starts with me. I already moved up to the third overall pick. The 49ers are not moving back out of that third overall selection. So even though San Francisco might have a history of not telling the truth, what's the point right now of the 49ers sending out any kind of storyline to throw any team off their trail? Because right now the draft starts with them next Thursday night. There's no reason to lie.
Right. I think another thing, there are two things to keep in mind here. One is I don't think they put out a lot of stuff. I mean, I think all of the reporting that we have about who they're going to take is anonymous other general managers, Chris Sims, who's friends with Kyle Shanahan, but knows nothing about who they're going to take. And some of the pro day tea leaves, which to be honest, like Shanahan, they went to Mac Jones pro day. Then they had Fields have a second pro day so they could go to it. Then they had Lance have a second pro day so they could go to it. What am I reading there? Like, what? I don't understand. Like, they went and saw all three. I think there's a realistic, like, my honest opinion is I don't think they know who they're taking yet. I really don't. I think right now,
8 days from the draft, you don't think the 49ers know which quarterback they're drafting? I mean, do you read into the fact that there's a report out there that Kyle Shanahan has not reached out to Nick Saban at Alabama?
Right.
So if they were going to take Mac Jones, well, don't you think they would have reached out to Nick Saban about Mac Jones with the third overall pick?
Well, not necessarily, because all three of these quarterbacks, like the dynamics of these three quarterbacks are so interesting. Like all three are working with like the same set of quarterback coaches and trainers who are very plugged in with Shanahan, who report to him, like John Beck, who works with two of the guys and who started working with Lance. Like he's best friends with Shanahan and tells him everything. So like Shanahan's getting a ton of information. And when I say I don't think they know who they're going to pick, I don't mean that there aren't strong opinions. I just mean that I think it's very possible there's not a consensus opinion. Like I think they traded the three, basically being like, let's evaluate everyone and take the best guy. Like let's evaluate everyone and leave the door open that we're just going to take the best player and let's try to figure out who that is. I mean, I've seen no reporting one way or the other, but like we haven't heard anything about who they're actually going to pick. And just my honest opinion, this is just my opinion. This is rooted in like, well, there's no reporting to refute it either. There's no reporting to counter it. I think it's very possible. Like we're all trying to be like, it's definitely this. It's definitely this. What if it's just they evaluate all three and they're going to come to a conclusion on who the best guy is? And my guess is because all three are completely different types of players. Mac Jones is the conventional Shanahan quarterback. The other two are not. Trey Lance is more of a project that would have to sit, like probably in all likelihood. But I mean, like, what's the likelihood Shanahan's pushing for Mac Jones and the rest of the organization wants Fields or wants Trey Lance? Like, that's very possible. That's extremely likely that would be happening, that there would be strong opinions, because we have strong opinions about these guys. And we can get into the story that Bruce Feldman put out for The Athletic here shortly with anonymous quotes from GMs. They have strong opinions about who they like, and some love a quarterback and some love another quarterback. Like, is it so hard to believe that people within the Niners would have differing opinions as well about who they wanted to take?
Yeah, and speaking of Mac Jones, you mentioned the Bruce Feldman piece, right? Has quotes from NFL coaches and scouts about the top NFL prospects. So here's what he had to say about Mac Jones. In my mind, if I had a win right now this year, he's the most advanced quarterback of any of them. I noticed something last year after Tua got hurt and Mac went in, they stopped running RPOs and started calling dropback stuff. I was like, oh, they trust him, but he's more than just that. I think he's the best thrower of the football by a lot. So
yeah, and that's wild, by the way. And for people who haven't read, I was like obsessed with this piece earlier today, because basically Bruce Feldman, these are actual NFL scouts and wide receiver and position coaches, who some of them were in on some of the interviews. Some of them talked to people who were in on the interviews. Like they were a part of the process of evaluating the players, which means they're more plugged in. Just even by having an opinion, they're more plugged in than you and I are, than a lot of people we have on the show. Like these people's opinions need to be given some weight because they have no reason to lie. Like it's literally like they're quoted anonymously. They've gone through the process with the players. Like I think they're very likely to give you their honest opinion. And that shows in with some of the criticism that they give, by the way, of some of the guys, that they're not, this isn't like a rosy picture of some of these players. And that was the interesting. I mean, you read the Mac Jones, two of the anonymous quotes there. That seems to be the consensus, like everywhere, is that what if he's just the best? Like, what if he's like, we don't want him to be the best, I think, because it makes no sense to us that Justin Fields can be a five-star prospect and play at Ohio State and do the things that he does and be thought of for a long time as like the next guy, kind of like Trevor Lawrence, to be honest. These guys were like rated very highly coming out of high school, going to college, rated really similarly, five-star prospects. And that Trey Lance is kind of like this mystery, but has these like, you know, this insane legend kind of around him. In order to, like, I think there's a part of, it's more like just pushing against our belief of like what a big, great quarterback should look like, honestly, because every evaluation, this just confirms what I've read, every anonymous quote, forget that the Niners are going to take him. Like just anyone evaluating, it's like, oh, well, this is the guy that's ready right now. And this is the guy that's like the best deep thrower. And this is the guy that's the best passer. So, okay, he's not mobile, but like everyone's kind of telling you the same thing, which is like, what if he's actually just the third best quarterback? Which is just like, I think that's just a really tough pill to swallow for a lot of people that watch college football, for a lot of people that have a visual image of what they think the quarterback's supposed to look like that goes third or that goes ahead of other guys. I think it's almost like human nature is being pushed against by these anonymous quotes, but where everybody's like, no, no, he's actually just the best. Like he's just the best at this.
Yeah. And you know, one NFL team told me, right, that sat down and met with Mac Jones. And this is not a team that's at the top of the draft. So I'm not going right. to, I'll clarify it that way. Right. But they said, basically you sit down with Mac Jones, you walk out of the room and there's nothing not to be impressed by. That right. He's utterly brilliant, that almost nerd-like brilliant, to where he has it broken down plays. He goes back and watches game film.
Like Sean McVay.
Like, yeah, no doubt about it. Like Mac Jones is a football savant. Lives it, eats it, breathes it. He's got notebooks on every single game he's played. He's got notebooks on every opponent he's gone up against. Like he's utterly brilliant football-wise. I'm not saying he's not brilliant otherwise. Like he walks around, has no idea what the hell's going on. But I'm just telling you that he's, you know, he's brilliant. Brilliant. He's a very, very smart quarterback. And this NFL team left the meeting very, very impressed with Mac Jones. Like they really, right. really liked him as a young quarterback prospect, having not obviously been in a room with him before. It's interesting, the Feldman column on Fields here, before we had a break, here's the quote from unnamed NFL coaches, right, about Justin Fields, the Ohio State quarterback. When you hear people talking about how well he processes, you don't see read progressions. When it's a bang, bang play, bang, 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 I love the guy. But if he has to play this year, that's scary.
Right. And the same guy said he had him rated fifth among all the quarterbacks.
He's got second choice,
rather. So, yes. Like, so I mean, you have two guys, because there's a scout that's quoted that's basically like, yeah, this is the guy we're all dumping on. Like, I don't really understand. It's not that he's like, you know, bad, but like, I don't really get the criticism. But then that's immediately followed by two other quotes of people criticizing him, where it's like, I don't get where the criticism's coming from. And then like position coach number two is like, yeah, I have him fifth of the five. Like, and this is, I think this is so funny where like, what if there's just this disconnect between fans of football, you know, football fans and people who bet on the draft, which are all kind of the same pool of people, and people who evaluate. And the people who evaluate think that we're crazy, and we think that they're crazy, because they think that Mac Jones is really good, and we think that Fields should be the third overall. And like, but my thing is like, if you're making a bet, I want to know what these people think. Like, if these people think Mac Jones is the third best player, like that's the only thing worth betting on. My opinion is not worth betting on. Their opinion might end up being worth betting on, because they're the ones connected to the people who are making the decisions. They're telling you that they have Fields rated fifth. They're telling you that if he had to start year one, it would be problematic. They're telling you that Mac Jones is the best passer in the draft. Like, they're telling you all the, at what point do we just believe the people that are telling us these things?
Well, yeah. I think we have to overcome the fact that the belief that Mac Jones is the third best quarterback in this draft, right?
Because right. Tom Brady with the shirt off, basically.
Right,
it's the same exact thing, right?
Well, that's exactly right. Where you look at Fields, who looks like a Greek Adonis. We've heard about Trey Lance for the last 2 years. Kind of Mac Jones comes out out of nowhere, because all we've heard about was Tua the last few years down at Alabama. Mac Jones steps in and you say, wait a second, that guy's going to be the third overall pick, Mac Jones coming out of Alabama. And you know what? Maybe we should just believe that he is that good of a quarterback, that even though he's got the body of a 40-year-old father, that, you know, he is going to be drafted third overall by the San Francisco 49ers.
I'm 36. So
yeah, I understand that. Well, he's got a better body than me as well. But
right. Well, that's two down. Right.
Well, he's not exactly cut, I'll tell you that. Like, you look at Mac Jones with his shirt off, you're like, wait a second, that's the quarterback of Alabama?
Right, that's very, very true. So, yeah, these quotes are just fascinating. I have a bunch for the wide receivers, some of the defensive players, Kyle Pitts and stuff. We can do that in the next segment.
We will get into that next. It's You Better You Bet on this Wednesday, BetQL Audio Network.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
Talking about the NFL draft next week. Mark Melusis in for Nick Costos. Ken Barkley, of course. You Better You Bet on this Wednesday night. And talking about Mac Jones and his terrible body and Fields. And Trey Lance is another one. You mentioned a guy, you know, going into the break, Ken, that I'm really fascinated by. And that is, you know, that is Kyle Pitts. The tight end coming out, he's really a wide receiver tight end, but the tight end coming out of Florida. And here were the quotes in the Feldman piece about Kyle Pitts, obviously anonymous quotes. This guy's more athletic and faster than Kelsey. This guy comes into the league and he's going to be way better than anybody else. Pitts is a unicorn. It's rare to get a guy that freaky, that size, that didn't flip to defensive end. So those are some of the comments from NFL coaches and scouts about Kyle Pitts in this latest Feldman piece that we've been discussing here for the last 20 or so minutes. And Pitts is a really interesting one, Ken, because, you know, you could see Kyle Pitts going to Cincinnati. You could see Kyle Pitts going even earlier than that to the Atlanta Falcons if nobody moves up and going the fourth overall pick. I think he's better than any wide receiver in this draft. I think he is going to be that good in the National Football League. I think he's the guy that NFL teams are fascinated about. I think there are teams outside the top 10 that would move up to try and get Kyle Pitts because I think he's that gifted of a playmaker coming out of Florida.
Yeah, I totally agree. And Todd McShay was on SV Pod today and did a bunch of draft stuff as well. And he had, you know, talked to some people about Kyle Pitts. And basically, like, the consensus seems to be if he was, like, this good – at a position that was not tight end, he could be the number one overall pick. Like if he was like as good at being a tight end, if he was that good at being an edge rusher, or if he was that good at being a quarterback, or if he was that, like, that's how amazing he is at being a tight end. But he plays a position that never gets drafted this high ever. And that's almost one of the reasons why, like, he's almost kind of like the odd man out because all the quarterbacks are involved and Ja'Marr Chase is really good and might be paired with Joe Burrow and everything. Where in like a normal season, like someone with his talent at a different position would, like, literally be the number one overall pick. Like, that's the consensus about him. It's almost like, okay, well, why don't you take him? It's like, well, because we don't normally take a tight end here. What a terrible reason to not take a player in a position. I still think Atlanta's going to take him. I think they'd actually be crazy not to. But I think he is one guy. We're talking about actionable information. So I think the quarterbacks, I honestly feel like betting the quarterbacks right now, like, I don't think there is a great bet to make with any of the three quarterback positions, right? Fields is usually 3.5, 4.5. I've seen both. I think it's interesting just to think about 4.5. Like, what if Atlanta just is like, oh my God, Justin Fields is there. I think that's kind of interesting. Mac Jones, I've seen 3.5. I've also seen 9 juiced crazy from Serco, who takes a lot of money. I don't think there's an actionable piece of information there. Trey Lance is a little interesting. if we get closer and we don't hear anything linking him to the Niners, do you bet over on Lance at 5.5, 6.5? That's kind of interesting. Pitts is a guy I think that they've gotten like dead nailed position wise correctly the entire time, which is 5.5. Basically, like, do you think Atlanta or the Bengals are going to take him? And the under is juiced, or do you think he gets past them? In which case, the Dolphins like immediately take him. So I think there's always been teams that make sense on both sides of his prop, and we'll do the wide receivers in a second. I don't think that's true for like any of the wide receivers. I actually think there might be a bet on all three of them. But I think Pitts is one of those guys where like I think the market, the people who opened the numbers, kind of got it right from the jump. I never saw anything except 5.5 for him, and I think it's interesting that every other player in the draft, all the quarterbacks, all the wide receivers, except for maybe Waddle, and a lot of the defensive players have all moved multiple positions from their opening, whether there's low limits and a bunch of sports books. Everybody's flying around in terms of average position. If you look at like 3 weeks ago and now, the one guy who I think literally hasn't changed his draft position at all is Kyle Pitts. And it's like, I think this was one, I agree, I think this is one they literally got right. I don't know if you said, here's $100, you have to bet it on over or under for Kyle Pitts. I honestly don't know what I would do, because I don't know what I think Atlanta can do 100 things. And I think Cincinnati is going to take Ja'Marr Chase. So like, Atlanta could take him. And then I also think Miami could take him and end up with him at 6. So I think that's one that everyone's kind of gotten right in terms of the draft positions.
All right, let's get to those wide receivers. You mentioned Chase. Here's, coaches and scouts on Chase, anonymous, of course. I think it's not close amongst these receivers. Chase is way better than the rest of them, and it's a good class. He's like a much faster Anquan Boldin. Anquan Boldin was as physical a wide receiver. If you added speed to Anquan Boldin, God bless. His pro day sealed it for me. I didn't think he would run as fast as he did, but he was so smooth. He maximized that time off. A lot of these guys that opted out didn't. And got to remember, Chase, it's been a while since we've seen him play college football. Right. He did not play for LSU this fall. He played a couple years ago when Joe Burrow was winning every award possible for a college player, and the LSU Tigers were winning the national title. How about these receivers? When you look at the top three receivers that we've been chatting about here for the last couple of months here, Ken, what about your positions there? Chase, Waddle, and Devontae Smith.
I think we're getting, I have not bet all three yet, because the numbers have moved in kind of an interesting way. If there's any sixes left for Chase, and they exist, they're not everywhere anymore. I think that's a bet I'm going to put in tonight, actually. There are 5.5s in a couple places. The number is moving in that direction, because I think it's becoming so likely that the Bengals take him that's starting to draw a lot of interest from people who are betting that under 6 and betting the under 6 and betting the under 6. I think 6 is starting to become, like, you could almost lay any price for it, because I think, you know, it becomes so likely that one of the Bengals or Miami take him that I actually think if you can find a 6 on Chase, that's a valuable bet worth making. I think it is. Unless you had to pay like -500 or something, the likelihood that he goes after the 6th pick, I think, is starting to get to like 10-15% or less at this point, that he goes later than Miami. Like, if he's on the board for Miami, it's over. And I think, yeah. I think Cincinnati actually is just going to end up taking him anyway. The really interesting thing, the crazy thing is, what if Atlanta takes a quarterback basically, or what if they trade to somebody who wants Fields? Like, let's say Mac Jones goes third. That's the crazy permutation where, like, all right, so Atlanta doesn't take Pitts. So now the Bengals have a really interesting situation where, do they take Chase over Pitts? Like, really? And then the Dolphins end up with, you know, like one of the other, you know, there's a way this kind of falls, which is a little interesting. I think that's why you need the 6. I think that's why even if you have to eat crazy juice, and there are some 6s out there, I've seen -200, -250 on them. I think that is a valuable bet worth making. And I think with Devontae Smith, who we can read some quotes on too, and these are not surprising. This was news today where he got his official weigh-in happened, and he was like 166 pounds or something like that. Yeah. And these quotes back that up. I mean, the quote from the scout, or this was a position coach, I think, I'm concerned about him only being 170 pounds. It's the world we live in. You know, basically this makes him more susceptible to injury by playing at this weight. Like, we can disagree with that, but again, like, the people who are making decisions tend to be sticky with these kinds of things. Like, they do have like beliefs about who they should pick and not pick. And we see this every year, and we see it come up. I have seen 11.5s still on the board for Devontae Smith, or rather I have seen 10.5, on the board for him. It was 11.5 for a while. Then we started to see 10.5 on the board. I'm literally staring at a 10.5 on my phone right now. The Giants are a little interesting. I don't think they're going to take a wide receiver, but they could, like, they are in play to take, like, they could take one. I mean, it's one of the things they could do, you know, even if there's seven things they could do. I think over 10.5 for Devontae Smith is an excellent bet. I actually think that's a really good bet. I don't think I want to take a position on where Waddle goes, but I think Waddle's existence as a potential top 10 pick only helps the Smith bet. Rather than make a Waddle bet, he's just one variable that helps the Smith bet win in terms of betting over position, because there's a lot of permutations where he goes early. There's also some where he doesn't, but there's enough where he does, where I'm not saying like bet on Waddle to go early, but he can go early enough that Smith to go later, I think, becomes valuable, because that's one of the ways you win your bet. You also win it in 100 other ways. But not having to deal with 11 as well, I think is interesting, where I think we pretty much know Dallas isn't taking him. So like, all right, now you're really talking about, you know, Miami, if they loved him and Pitts and Chase were off the board, which I think would be a reach, to be honest. And I'd be curious if they ended up taking Waddle instead. And then, you know, you're really like, you're kind of like so-so on every other pick in the back half of the top 10, teams trading up and down. I don't think he's the kind of player a team's going to trade up to take also. Like, he doesn't strike me as that type of player. I could just kind of see him, you know, hanging out and going like 12, 13, 14, 15. And I don't think that would be very surprising. And being able to get 10.5 on the position, I think, is really valuable now.
Yeah, I mean, I love your logic, Ken. I think it's very fair, and I'm kind of sharing a brain. I mean, I think of the three receivers, I think Waddle goes before Smith. Obviously, I think Chase is the best wide receiver of this group. We've talked, obviously, about how talented Pitts is coming out of Florida. The concern about Devontae Smith, I mean, is he DeSean Jackson? I mean, that's it. I mean, that's the size you're looking at of, you know, pound wise of when DeSean Jackson was coming out of Cal, as when you look at Devontae Smith coming out of Alabama. I mean, 166 pounds. I mean, that is very, very light for an NFL wide receiver. Not saying that he has to be 215, 220, but the other thing is going to be, what kind of player is he going to be? Can he take the hits? As the scout or the position coach pointed out, that's where you have, you know, knee injuries, you have collarbone issues, all these other things. Big guys beat up on little guys. And Devontae Smith was a tremendous playmaker at Alabama, but we're talking about, and not saying that he can't be successful in the NFL. The gamble, though, is a team willing to gamble, you know, under, you know, pick 10 and under on Devontae Smith and say, yes, give me the small guy in today's day and age in the NFL, where everyone's bigger, faster, stronger. I think Waddle, because of his breakaway speed, goes before Devontae Smith. And obviously, I think Chase is the first wide receiver off the board.
Right. And I think the important thing is, it's like, oh, so I should bet Waddle under then. And it's like, well, I would rather bet Smith over than Waddle under, because like Smith over win. If Waddle gets drafted in the top 10, I think Smith over is like
a lot.
An insanely high percentage to win. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't always win. They could both go in the top 10, but it's such a narrow band of outcomes. But I think there are a lot of ways that Smith over wins, even if Waddle doesn't go in the top 10. First of all, if Mac Jones goes third, all five quarterbacks maybe go in the top 10. You're talking about, even if you get one of the two offensive linemen, you're talking about Dallas takes Surtain or another corner. What if Horn and Surtain both go? What if Detroit takes Parsons, which, by the way, is totally not out of the realm of possibility. We have no idea what they're going to do, and they love him. Like, there's all kinds of things that happen, trade-ups for quarterbacks. And again, if we get all five there, like, Smith's the odd man out a lot of the time there. Whether Waddle's in or not, like, there are lots of top 10s that occur that don't have Waddle where Smith still goes later. So I think that's why the Smith bet I like a little bit more than the Waddle one.
You know, Ken, the other one, and we only have about a minute here, the other one I'm very fascinated to see what happens is Penei Sewell, the Oregon tackle, because there's some heat about maybe him dropping in this draft just because of other teams going other spots. Cincinnati with a wide receiver. You mentioned Detroit would be in on Penei Sewell if they go Micah Parsons, the linebacker coming out of Penn State. So Penei Sewell, a guy we've heard about for the last 2 years, it'll be interesting to see if next Thursday night the big tackle out of Oregon is one of the guys that drops.
Yeah, we can do more on this tomorrow, but my quick advice on him is I've seen 6.5s now on him, but the over is juiced in your favor, like plus 150, plus 180. I would rather take 6.5 and get an awesome payback, because I don't think there's a really high likelihood he's going to go sixth to Miami. So like, you're getting an extra place and you're actually getting a lot more value on your bet. I think that's interesting.
That does it for us here on this Wednesday. We'll be back with you tomorrow. It's You Better You Bet right here on the BetQL Audio Network.